It's time for your new favorite podcast about board games. Nameless, but not gameless. Welcome back. It's been we've had a little bit of a lull, guys. We're back with our board game podcast, which I renamed. We dropped a potential name and I forgot what it was, but we're calling ourselves Nameless but Not Gameless. What did I say? I said something else.
You're watching basketball, right? Mm-hmm.
It was a basketball reference. Oh, the board crasher. Crashing the boards. Crashing the boards. Would be a good
I like I like nameless but gameless better.
You guys don't like you're not that big on that on the defense, huh? Grabbing those offensive rebounds, those defensive rebounds.
I was trained to be an offensive driver, not a defensive driver.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are offensive.
Clearly.
Yeah. Have you seen the way I drive?
I experienced it.
It's been a couple of weeks. We had a nice Friendsgiving with our friends at Shuffle and Cut, and we had a Friendsgiving dinner. We celebrated my birthday, and I received a game for my birthday we're going to review today. So today we're basically just going to be doing a few reviews and getting caught up on some games that we've missed out on over the last few weeks. The first one I want to bring up, I did not play this. This one seemed like a real brain burner.
Why are you starting off with it?
Because let's just get it out of the way.
Okay, that's
let's
fair.
Just get it out
that's
of the way. And now, I'm surprised, Jake, because you dropped... I don't want to say a lot of money.
No, I dropped a lot of money.
But I'm going to say
it was a bill, right? You dropped a bill on it?
It was like 110.
Fudge. Was it really?
Yeah.
Fudge.
It's a big,
it's really pretty,
finky game. It's got an a rating of 8.0 on Board Game Geek, and we are talking about a game called The Gallerist. It is designed by Vital Lacerda, and is published by Eagle Griffin Games. Mm-hmm. So tell us about it, Jake. What is the goal? What are you doing in the game? The pieces look great. If you're familiar with Stonemaier Games, it has like that quality of game pieces. It looks really great laid out on the table.
It's one of the prettier games that I've seen. I will give it that.
You guys played it, and Patrick and Dan. And what did we play?
We played four other games.
We played four other games in the time it took them to play.
And we played I played King Domino.
Oh, you did play King Domino. We played Red Planet Mars, or Mission Red Planet.
Which was fantastic.
We played two or three other games. We got all these games in there while you guys were trying to figure out The Gallerist. So give us a rundown of what it's about. Give us a breakdown.
So the objective of the game is to make the most money. Okay. And to make the most money is that you are the owner of an art gallery. And you earn money by buying art, promoting artists so you make more money off the art. There are certain objectives at the end of the game where it's like the types of art that you sell. You can get extra points at the end of the game depending – you get like a random card. And it tells you if you do two paintings and two sculptures, you'll get extra points. And then they have ones where you're – the ones that you're hosting in your gallery, you get extra points depending on the ones you're holding there. And you can – promote artists. There are certain objectives you can get that give you extra points at the end of the game, but the main aspect is just buying and selling art. But
so, what made it so difficult?
Because you guys were
struggling with it.
I think the rules were.
It was.
The
it
worst
looks
part.
Beautiful, but like that rule book is a actual book.
It looked beautiful laid out. It did look. I mean, people were stopping by to watch what you guys were playing
and then laughing and walking away.
Then. The problem that I have with it, this is a game, at least for me, that I would need to have someone who already is well-versed in the rules and show me how to play before I would start to probably appreciate it more.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are, I don't know what, five or six different locations that you can go to do, and there are two different actions you can do at each location. And during the game, you don't necessarily see the impact of each action that you're doing. It's sort of a slow compounding effect where it's like this, you know, these last 10 turns helped me to get this large payoff. So it's hard to see an immediate effect to it. So it's really hard to figure out what do I need to be doing right now?
I have good news for you, Jake. Our friend Rodney Smith, and if you don't watch his videos. You should. He has a video series called Watch It Played. He's a very nice guy, a Canadian fellow. Has quite a following on the YouTubes.
Of course he's nice. He's
but,
Canadian.
Yeah, but he has a series called Watch It Played. He'll show you how to set up the game, and he actually does have a how-to tutorial. So I would seriously recommend. It. You did watch it?
I watched it like five times. it still
was too beyond what.
It's just because there's so many things that you can do.
Okay.
That it's hard to discern what's an appropriate thing to do at any particular time.
Yeah, Rodney's going to give you the basic rules. He's not going to give you strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking for more strategy.
Like a while back, I played Power Grid. That was a game that I would never be able to figure out. I would never sit down and try to figure out how to do it. But playing with people who already knew how to play it, and I kind of saw how they were playing it, and I can kind of figure it out quickly from there,
made
it a lot easier. This would be a game that I would need to do that for.
Okay. There are some games that are like that. Mm-hmm. I remember my wife and I played Euphoria, which is a Stonemaier game, and it's very abstract, and there's no – you can start pretty much – it's kind of the same – it's the same basic layout as Scythe. So it's based a lot on Scythe, so your mm-hmm. board is – you have a control board and all that stuff. But you can really start doing whatever, and my wife and I had the hardest time because – we wanted someone to say, no, start here. Like, do this first. And you really don't have to. You can start any number of ways. And once we got going with that, the game kind of fell into place.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, okay, it's a worker placement game. We just had a hard time, both of us, wrapping our heads around, well, what do we do first? Like, how – would you say that was – like, or are you looking at strategy or are you looking at
– it's a bit of both because at – its core, it is somewhat of a worker. It has like worker placement aspects because you'll have, I forget what they're called, but you basically have little workers that you can send out that you place down on the board permanently, and they get bonus effects at the end of the game. You can have them do contracts, and you can use the contracts to get bonus, like a little bonus one-time effects. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's just same reason. It's so wide open that it's hard to figure out what to do first.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure out like a particular strategy and how to like get yourself going.
We had the same thing with – it sounds exactly like the problem we had with Euphoria.
But which is why I like Scythe, is because it seems like it's really complicated until you start playing it.
Oh, and it's very clear. And like, then it's extremely – which direction you're supposed to go.
Very, very clear. It's like, okay, in order for me to do this, I need to get more workers. Okay, once I get more workers, I can do this and mm-hmm. this. And then once I do this, it's very linear.
Okay.
Scythe is very linear in its worker placement as opposed to this where it's just – there's this very large open board and you're just like, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
It's just a little overwhelming.
It's very overwhelming.
And Justine, what did you think about it? Because you did not look happy.
No, I didn't. The guy that sat next to me, he asked you so many questions. Matt?
Mm-hmm. You want to give names out on
that one guy.
That guy, Matt. he kept asking you questions like, what's the point in doing this? And I felt the same way. I ended up just playing and going with what I knew because you guys were doing contracts. And Crystal's, another girl and I.
Crystal. You can say Crystal.
Crystal and I didn't do that. And I think... for me, I just didn't understand the purpose in that.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept asking you questions and you guys figured that part out. And I was like, well, I'm just going to get points doing a different way. And I don't think I was far off from you guys.
Who ended up winning?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It doesn't matter.
I think
we all lost.
About 4 hours of your time.
Yeah.
You guys played that game took up your whole night.
I want to say I came in second, but...
well, it's because him and I were like going back and forth because... I knew the gist of the rules, but he was like, well, why do we do this?
Exactly.
Why do we do this? And then it was like him and I, like, frustratingly trying to figure out the purposes of doing these different things.
Yeah. What does that get me? What's the advantage of doing this over this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those are hard. It's hard to answer those questions if you haven't played the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you played a couple times, then you can say, oh, well, this will do this for you. And that's hard. Some of those games are really... That's why I always tell you guys, there are certain games I buy for when my wife and I are going to play because we can sit down and have those conversations. Unfortunately, the game night environment that we're in, it's not conducive to answering those types of questions, like mm-mm. puzzling through a game like that. Because like last week when we tried to play The Thing, we were trying to explain rule. Luckily, we had enough players that had played because the table next to us was just super loud. They were, and we get loud too. We're not mad that they're loud,
no.
But it's just, if the game is rules heavy, if it's a brain burner, that's not the best environment for trying to figure out the rules. So I'll bet you if you guys, played it somewhere where there was just the people playing the game and you could get through it together, that would probably make the game a lot more enjoyable than trying to figure it out with, you know, when there's 20 games going on around you and the magic guys are dropping F-bombs as loudly as they can, you know?
Oh, God.
If we were to play it again, I would probably be better at explaining what stuff we can do because I'm bared through it and kind of figured out general ideas of, like, different strategies you could probably do. It's such a heavy strategy game that it's really hard to kind of bring out onto the table, except for people who are looking to play that kind of game.
Yeah. See, my wife and I like that game Yokohama, and it looks so intimidating when you lay it out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to play it, it's kind of like another game we have called Istanbul, which I've mm-hmm. played with some of – I don't know if anyone here has played, but
I don't have.
It's super easy. It looks intimidating once you lay down. It's like, okay, you just need to move your guy here. And if he goes here, he can do this. And if he goes here, he can do this. And you want to make the most money, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it laid out, you're like, oh, my God, this thing must take hours to explain.
I think I played that.
But it's one of those games that when you play it, after you play it once, you're like, okay, I got it.
Lords of Waterdeep's the same way.
Yeah.
It looks very intimidating when you place it out, and then you're like, oh, okay, if I take this, get money.
Well, if the idea of art in a board game intrigues you, Matt, the owner of Shuffle and Cut, actually introduced me to a game called Modern Art. It's a reprint. It's designed by Rainer. Oh, look at this. There's no consonant where there should be a consonant. It's, I'm going to say Nizia. Rainer Nizia. Knizia. And it is published by Hans in Gluck. I'll bet you it's someone else in the United States.
Sounds German.
Let's see. Come On Limited or Oink Games has it. It's an auction game, and it actually uses real artists. And there's just all you're doing is you are auctioning off art, and there's different types of auctions. You can have a silent auction. You can set the price, and you can set one price, and people can buy that art. Or you can have an actual auction. And the nice thing is, as more artists get more popular in the game, if they sell more art, their art becomes worth more money, and those are cumulative. So at the end of the game, you know, if a guy is, you know, he's at the end of the first round, his painting is worth $20, then they're worth $30, then they're worth another $30. You know, at the end of the game, that's $80 that every painting you have is worth. And the nice thing is, I almost won only selling. I kind of got away from my strategy in the last round. I started buying because I got nervous. I would have won, but what I was doing was I was actually starting bidding wars between people and getting people to overbid and paying me way more money than they should have for the painting. It was really, really fun, really, really simple. So if you're looking for an easier take on art in the game, I got to play that game. And that's one I actually want to pick up. I haven't picked it up yet, but the pieces are really nice. The cards are really nice. There's actual paintings on them. It's really, really, really a really, really fun, very, very easy game. And, you know, there's different demarcations in the corner of the cards that will tell you what kind of auction that you're about to do. And then you just keep track of how much money you have. It's really, and it's, there's a little, cardboard shield so nobody can see how much money you have. So you can guesstimate how much money you think someone's spending or paying for. But you get people that overpay. It's the best. It's the best feeling in the world. So check it out. It's called Modern. I really enjoyed it.
It's almost like a press your luck kind of thing, too.
Exactly. It's the kind of game that we like. It's definitely a kind of game that we like. But no, you know, there is a strategy, too. There's more strategy in that, you know, you want to put out the right kind of auction at the right time.
Don't try and make up for the word you said.
What, you don't like press your luck games?
I hate press your luck.
Why?
I love it.
You know that.
You don't like any games.
I know.
What's the one? That
Inca
he hates?
Gold.
Inca Gold. Mm-hmm. He hates it. I love that game.
I love that game, too.
What about you, Justine?
Just because I hate it.
It's stressful. It gets my heart pumping.
It's a safe environment to gamble your life
on. Yeah, yeah. Cable cup.
And it's not even money, and I feel like
it's like Camel Cup, but Camel Cup I didn't feel like it was a pressure luck game. I was just like, I'm excited to roll the dice out of that stupid pyramid.
Let's get this stupid thing, these camels across the board. These are other games.
It was fun.
It was great. It's a good game.
Or, what's that race one? I forget the name.
Downforce. That's not pressing your luck at all. That's just following which car is going to go.
Yeah. Downforce is good, though, because you do have control over screwing people over.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, those turns. Mm. Oh.
That's why I like the harder version on the reverse side.
In Monaco?
Yeah. All those turns.
Because there's so many turns, and there's like these one lane areas. They're going to just like swoop in front and then just sit there. And just,
I'm
like,
telling you guys, having that card, the power with the reverse order, where you can reverse the order on the cards in Downforce, is one of the best, because you're like, I need to move up front, but I can only move two spaces, but it's just enough to get me into that corner and block everybody behind me. Mm-hmm. Make everybody waste a turn, and then their cars don't cross, mm-hmm. and you lose money. Okay. Patrick, you played a game last week. That was really going to be that. P is going to really be hot in the mic. Sorry about that, guys. You played a game last week called Marrying Mr. Darcy.
Yeah, we actually, all of us played it except for you. We played it just before you got there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I would have liked if you'd been there, because you would have loved it. It was fantastic.
I forgot what I had to do.
Basically, you are one of the characters in Pride and Prejudice, one of the female characters, and you are trying to find your suitor and try the best marriage option. Mm-hmm. So each round is played in different turns. And like normally, it didn't seem like a game I would really enjoy, but for some reason, we just got into it, and we're just like, this is going to be fantastic.
We were just being really catty and great. It was awesome.
Before you go, let me explain the game.
Okay, fine, go.
So, the way the game is played is you're each assigned one of the female characters from the book, and you are trying to match up with a husband. And each round is played in different events happen where you get a letter from your aunt saying, you know, she owes you money, or your potential suitor thinks you're not very friendly. And so you get it's like a draw one, play one almost, but it doesn't always draw one, play one. But each time something happens. And so you're accruing different item cards that affect your friendliness, your beauty, your cunning.
Your dowry.
So, your dowry, yeah. And so
I'm reading the thing about it.
It's a lot.
The most cunning woman gets her first crack at the engagement.
At the man, yeah. So it's cool because you play it all the way through, where you go through a whole deck of different events, and you don't stop till all the events are done. And then there's different points where you'll pull a party card and you'll roll a dice, and that will affect what happens. So like you'll be really bad at playing a card game, so you don't get any cards, or you'll successfully flirt with your potential mate, and mm-hmm. so you get to draw a card and play two cards. And Jake had a character.
I'm cracking up at how excited Patrick is.
It was great. It was a fun game.
Can I talk about
it? I ended up being an old spinster, and I almost won still. I almost won.
Can I say it now?
Yeah, go ahead.
You guys just loved being the girl fighting over a guy.
It was
so much fun.
It was so much fun.
I'm not good. Like, these guys were like, oh, no. And, like, they're just being really girly. We have our friend Dan that played,
being
and
really
he
catty.
Loved being a certain type of girl. Like, you guys all just enjoyed playing a girl.
It was surprisingly a lot of fun. Like, if you actually like get into it.
It was great.
To quote Mystery Science Theater, it's fun being a girl group, even if it's just for a little while.
There you go. Exactly.
I know why they're so happy all the time. It was great.
It was a fun game, but the guys loved it a lot, and I think it's just because you guys played a girl fighting over a guy. It's just so
it was
when
great.
Do we get to do that?
It's like one of the few times we really got into the role, and it was great.
Justine's actually covering her face and laughing.
She was just so ashamed.
It was ridiculous. If you watch them and how they were fighting over the guys, it was ridiculous.
It was great. I was a very I forget the name of her, but she was a very
very
loose woman.
Whenever
there was a party card, I got to steal cards from the other players.
And it happened that he was the first one to get married. You know, so he might have gotten a little knocked out.
Wow.
But I ended up being an old spinster. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, and now in your heads, did you have to pretend it was the movie Clueless? Clueless is Pride and Prejudice, right? Clueless is, I think it is based on.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, we went like straight up Jane Eyre.
Is Clueless based on? I think it is based on. It's based on something.
We went straight Jane Austen on
Wuthering
it.
Heights? I don't know. No, that's not Jane Austen.
It was great. It was fantastic. It was great. You'd love it. And they apparently have a zombie mode, because all games have zombie modes.
Mm-hmm.
But still, no matter – I surprisingly enjoyed that game a lot.
There's a lot of guys that played with us, and they probably enjoyed it more than the girls did.
Oh, it's Emma. It's Clueless is based on Emma. So, sorry.
That's okay.
But it is based on
Jane
Austen.
I think there's an expansion for Emma, actually.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah,
it was good. It was great. You'd love it.
All right. I'm gonna check it out. That was a good one.
It was really small, easy box, easy setup, super quick.
Yeah. I've seen it at the store, and I just, you know, it's one of those things.
I would have never picked it up. Maybe. And Crystal owned it, so that's the only reason we played it. But normally, Jane Austen, I'm just like,
any gamer I can, like,
be a woman?
Assume a role, assume a character, I'm always all for it.
Any game you can fulfill some lifelong dreams?
Yeah. Some deep, dark fantasies, I'm
all about. All right, guys, it's time. So a couple of weeks ago for my birthday, I received a game that I've wanted for so long. I've had my eye on it since they announced it. It's called The Thing, Infectionate Outpost 31. Mm-hmm. It is back on Amazon right now. It was out of print for a little while. It is designed by Joe Van Wettering, published by USAopoly here, I think, in the United States. It is based on the movie The Thing, which is itself is based on a 1951 movie called The Thing from Another World, which in itself is based on a 1930s novel by an author by the name of, I believe, William Campbell.
Is it called That One Thing Back East?
It's called it's called Who Goes There.
Oh.
It's the name of the original story, if you
which
want to
look it up.
Which is based on...
13th century era.
Yeah. So The Thing, Infection Outpost 31... You play a team of Antarctic researchers up at the North Pole, completely cut off from civilization. And as in the film, you've been infiltrated by an alien who can assume human form. There's no way, aside from a blood test, to reveal who the infected person is. The goal of the infected person is to win the game by either causing the destruction of a certain area of the base. They can win that way.
I didn't know that.
If part of the base is destroyed,
four of the rooms are destroyed.
Yeah, if you fail so many missions,
I knew that.
If the humans fail so many missions, the alien wins. And if the alien can escape with the humans at the end of the game, if one alien can sneak aboard the chopper, he can win the game, because essentially once humans get back in contact with other humans, the thing can assimilate at will. The humans can win. The only way the humans can win is by escaping with no aliens on board the helicopter. And what my favorite mechanic of the game is, nobody, unless you use the flamethrower, which we haven't done yet, everybody is in the game till the very end. And my favorite part of the whole game is everybody at the table has to agree on one person. They vote on one person who will make the final decision of who stays and who goes. Table talk is a huge part of the game. As you go through the game, you clear different parts of the base. As you clear different parts of the base, you'll pick up gear you need to advance into the next part of the base. Now, it needs to be said, at the start of the game, there is one person infected. As you open up different parts of the base, there are three rounds where you open them up. as you open different parts of the base, now the group is they're exposed to possible infection. So every time a new part of the base is open, you deal blood sample cards. If you're a human and you get another human card, nothing has changed. If you're human and you get a card that means it says you're infected, it means you've been assimilated. So now it's your job to remain undetected for the rest of the game. And there's always one at the start. You never know who it is. If you've played Dead of Winter, the mechanic is very, very similar. You explore the base room by room. The captain, per round, will ask for different materials needed to complete each mission in each room.
It was like Dead of Winter meets Resistance, where you have to choose a crew to go with you. That was really cool.
Yeah, you do have to choose. The cards will tell you you need so many members of your team. You need so many members from each department. And you have a certain win criterion you need to meet. It might be the roll of the dice. It might be a certain number of certain amount of equipment. And there's always someone who can sabotage you. Now, I was able to win the game as an alien by playing completely straight. High five to Jake. I did everything. I was helpful the whole time because I wanted to get on that chopper. So not only did I get on the chopper, I was elected captain to decide who stayed and who went. And guess what I did? I made everybody debate till the last turn. I made everybody go through the motions of hashing out the debate, knowing I would win. I did not flip my card. I could have just called the game, but I
would never let you on that helicopter.
I was on there.
I would have never let it happen. I know better than to trust you.
No, there was no – Jake, would you say there was any way to tell I was an alien during that
I kind of thought he was, but see? I'm like, I don't think he was. I'm not too sure. My gut said yes, but I'm like, I don't think so.
All it takes is one burn from you, and then everyone starts to not like you.
Yeah, that's what happened last night.
There goes all your trust.
So we've actually played this game. I got it a month ago, and we've played every game session since, and it's really fun. So what are your thoughts? Justine and Patrick just played it for the first time. Jake, you played it about three times now.
Three or four times, yeah. I think, yeah.
Let's hear your thoughts, guys.
So one of my favorite mechanics of the game is the fact that you can become infected later on. That is probably the biggest change-up that could happen to somebody, where you could be a human the whole time, and then that last round you get infected, and you're like, well, shit, now I got to change my strategy.
Mm-hmm. I'm praying I get that last round.
I was hoping for it, because I was like, I'm having fun, you know, I want to just kind of mess things up and just go crazy, and I stayed being a human the whole time. And it's a lot of fun. We like social deduction games, so it definitely is a big win in my book. I like it a lot.
It's social deduction mixed with a little bit of a dungeon crawler,
which I like. It's got a bigger mechanic to it, which is a lot of fun. So,
Justine,
it's good. It's great.
I'd say playing as a human is kind of boring.
No, God, no. You have to suss out who the infected are. That's the hardest part. It's the best part.
Yeah, but I also like no one was putting down. We only had one destroy. Is that the card? Destroy card.
Sabotage.
Mm-hmm. There's only one that went down, so that was fun. And then
it just happened once in my round, and I was like, oh, God damn it.
I pray I get infected like during the game.
Sabotage is great because you can use that to. We haven't done it effectively yet, but you could use it to throw somebody under the bus. Like if you're an alien, you could like throw suspicion on somebody.
Yeah,
I did that before. You have to be very careful with how you word what you're giving the other person. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you got to be like you got to really pay attention to what other people are giving, so you can say like if somebody's asking for you know two cards, you just got to be like, yeah, I gave you a two. Or if somebody says, oh, yeah, I have a gun, I'll give you a gun, three.
Here's a gun.
Yeah, so you make sure that you match up with whatever somebody else says, because if you don't do that...
I'm going to stop asking people what they give me beforehand, because I've noticed we do that a lot. We're like, okay, I'll give you this, and then we always go, okay, what did you give me? But I'm going to start waiting until I get a sabotage card and then go, okay, tell me what you gave me, because that's how we busted somebody the first game, and then we just ignored her for the rest of the game.
She was nice, but I felt kind of bad. We found her right away, and I was like, nope, can't trust you ever again. Sorry. And then people kept picking on her. I'm like, what the heck, man? She's a freaking...
No. This is our first game at Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
Oh,
Candace got knocked out.
I'm talking about the other
person. We figured out like the second round that she was an alien, because we did that to her. We're like, what did you give us? She's like, I gave you... I forgot what you said. And there was
changed it.
Yeah, there was not one in the deck.
She became necessary because you needed like two yellow people, and she was one of the yellow.
Yeah.
And that's why I told you guys. I'm like, sometimes. I think we still need her. Like, we can't kill her because we need her.
That's what's great about that game is that the way it's set up is you can't just go kill somebody willy-nilly because you need everybody to complete the game. Yeah. So you have to wait till that last round kind of to...
How many players?
It plays up to eight. It's fun with eight.
So, yeah, you could probably do it with eight and then actually kill someone off because you'll have enough people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think more people the better. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's harder to guess. That is the game that I have like been surprised so many times. And Renee here at the shop.
Ugh. He snuck all the way through.
I think clue. I think he was one from the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue. He played it perfectly.
Jake and I turned on each other We were humans and we turned on each other. And that caused such a distraction that...
Renee was ignored. Renee that was the thing.
Ignored, yep.
Jake went so ham about his convictions and him trying to fight to get us to use that flamethrower.
He really wanted to torch somebody.
And then Marty
I didn't say torch somebody. I just wanted to use it as a blood test.
It just got to the point where it's just like, we can't trust Jake because he's so vehement about it that it's just like, I can't... You're making me uncomfortable. I can't take you.
He really was angry.
And that's the only reason Jake didn't make it on the chopper.
Ugh.
He also didn't fight it that he was human. Like, he kind of just gave up that it was like, oh,
yeah.
I guess he's not, I don't know. And then Mario got all mad.
It was pretty easy to figure out Mario was human. That was not hard to find out.
I wasn't mad. I was just like, Jake, relax, buddy. Jake went crazy. Jake was drunk with power.
Well, no one was saying anything, so I'm trying to like,
who am I going to
reason
torch?
Our way through it, and then everyone's just like,
yeah, I think we would have questioned Renee, because Renee's always quiet during a game, that we would have questioned him.
Yeah.
But you two just...
You took over.
Oh, that was...
And I just didn't... It didn't make sense to me to test Mario, to blood test Mario. That part didn't make sense to me.
We're rehashing a game for you guys, which
I would have rather...
Human, and Jake and I were both human, and Renee was able to... Renee was the only one that got on the chopper, too. You guys figured out all the other aliens, and Renee got on. He was so quiet the whole game. He really... It was masterful.
Well, one of our other friends, he was the captain, and he just picked him without saying anything. I'm like, wait, no.
We didn't get a chance to argue it because we were still arguing about the blood test.
That was fun. Don't turn on each other.
Good gosh.
Survival.
It was great, though.
It's good. There's a lot more room for deception than a game like Secret Hitler, where there's only one main mechanic that you have to focus on. The mechanic with the whole team thing, it leaves a lot of room for like sabotage and deception.
And changing. It's not like in Hitler we change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't turn into Hitler.
Mm-hmm. And it makes it so you never really know who to trust.
And like Patrick
each time
said,
a new round, you got a potential new alien coming through.
And like Patrick said, you have to roll with the punches a lot because you don't know what cards are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to change up your strategy too much.
Because then it just outs you as something that's not right, even if you are human.
I keep a sabotage on me at all times now, just in case.
Why?
Just in case.
In case you get turned?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what, though?
Now we know never to take Jake.
But no, there's some that have, like, if I see one that says the mission automatically fails, I will hold on to that.
Just so it doesn't get into the deck.
Uh-huh.
Smart.
And then if by chance I get an imitation, then I'll have it.
You torpedo it.
Yeah.
Now we know. Now we know whenever that card comes up, it's like, oh, Jake did it.
Although Dan did say he had the same strategy.
Yeah.
We didn't rate the Galaris Mary.
Mr.
Darcy.
Oh, we'll do it at the end.
We don't rate things here.
We'll do them at the end.
Yes, we do.
Well, actually, it is the end. So, so what do you guys give the Gallerist?
Pass.
As in pass fail?
Because I know it's probably a really good game. It's just I would need to sit down. As of right now, it's like 2.5.
2.5. Okay.
Yeah.
Out of 5 or 10?
Out of 5.
Oh, okay.
5 out of 10.
Stop it.
5 out of 10. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 5 out of 10.
Justine, what do you give it?
I give it a 4. Until Jake figures it out. 4 out of 10. Until Jake figures it out.
She doesn't want to see it again.
No, it's not. I don't give it a low rating. I mean, I was able to play and get
low.
Points.
4 out of 10 is low.
That's 40%.
Yeah, but
that's a fail.
That's less than an F.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's an F. Would it be F minus?
No.
Like I'm it's hard for me to choose between that and Bob Ross. Like if you guys busted out both of those games, if you
I
guys
would
busted
rather
out,
play Bob Ross than
saying
the
we have to play one.
Yeah, if you bust out both of those games, I might just leave and go get food.
I love that Bob Ross
come back.
I love that Bob Ross is like your
she's got
it's
no,
like your metric.
Bob Ross.
She's got no chill.
Yeah, you got zero chill.
Yeah.
Her chill meter. Not there.
Patrick, what do you give Marrying Mr. Dawson?
I'm
gonna give that a 7 out of 10. It's a solid game. I wouldn't give it like fantastic ratings because it's 7 out of 10.
Jake,
it's good.
I like it a little more. I like 7.5, 7.5.
Right.
Man measures by inches.
Yeah,
half inches. It's like when you're 5.5 and you say you're 6 foot.
I give it a 6.
Give it a 6. All right. What about the thing? Infection at Outpost 31.
9.
Yeah, it's pretty close to perfect for me. I'm going to give it a 9.
having only played it once, I'm going to give it an 8.5. I want to be infected before I can give it a 9.
Oh, infect is the best. Somebody
infect me.
Justine, what do you say?
6.5.
Whoa!
You need to leave.
You're the only one that doesn't like it. Everybody else that's played that game has loved it. Well, Matt was underwhelmed too.
Well,
but I think Matt's just over.
Also, the first time we played it, he kind of said, "Well," because he became the imitation last round. I was like, "Well, I was the imitation last round." I'm like, "Why?"
Well,
just go with it.
Yeah, right.
I had a million questions about being an imitation.
Uh huh.
And Dan's like, "Are you?" And I'm like, "No, I just next round I want to make sure I understand it."
I think the last round at one point I asked you, "Is like, is imitation red?" Because I was like, "I don't know."
I just wanted to understand it better. Because if we were to play again and I was an alien, I wouldn't understand like some of the things that you have to tell me.
Okay. That's fair.
Maybe if I'm an alien, I'll
enjoy
the game.
You're both wrong. I'm sorry, you're not wrong. You guys are wrong. You're wrong. This is a great game, and I highly recommend
it. I think it's fantastic, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot more fun being the imitation.
This is one of my favorite games already.
Would you give Modern Art?
Oh, I didn't rate Modern Art. Modern Art, I would give that a solid 7.
Solid 7. Seven feels like a good game.
And I feel like it's the people you play with are really going to affect how well, you know, if people get into the spirit of it, and then you get people who like to play mind games. Like, if I played with you guys, I'd probably like it even more.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun to play with Matt, and the other two players we played with were, I just didn't know them well enough to really, you know, get in their head. But it was fun. I definitely want to get it. I definitely want to pick it up.
Yeah, when you don't know somebody, then you're just kind of playing against Matt, and that's already messing with your head always, as it is.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, my strategy went pretty far just selling the art.
Smart.
I was trying to see if I could do it just selling it. But it was funny because I knew how to get to Matt,
and I
would get him to overbid every time. It was pretty amazing. What'd you say?
I said a lot of streetwalkers say that.
You found out what he really needed, mm-hmm. and then you're just like
– selling it.
That's it.
Keep it coming.
Put it out there.
Keep raising it. Tell me how far you're going.
So next week we're going to have some – what's up?
Feels good to be back.
It does feel good to be back. So get out there. These are great board games. You want to buy them for Christmas. They're all still in print and still available. So get out there and get them. And like I said, the thing is back in print. They did an initial printing, and I guess they ran out, but it's back on Amazon for about $50, I think. So
it's only 50.
It's only 50. But
that's really great. That's a
good
deal.
Game to add.
I could have bought two of those instead of buying the other. I could have bought it for me and for a friend.
But if you like social deduction games, it's a good one. I can't recommend it enough. It's a lot of fun. And I love the movie, so it's awesome that it gets a nice little campaign. You're actually playing the movie kind of, so.
Oh, and it's beautiful too.
The minis are really cool. They're kind of unnecessary, but they are cool to have. So.
Yeah, we just left ours in one room.
Yeah. The thing that's sucky is you can't paint them really because they're all color coded.
You can paint the top half. You can paint the person, you just can't paint the base.
Technically, if you want to get technical, you can like paint their clothing that color.
That's true. I'm going to have Patrick do it, so.
I have a lot of miniatures to paint.
Yeah, you do. All right, guys.
You also have a big trophy to paint.
I need a new one.
Where's the old trophy?
I think Jason burned it.
What?
I just realized I was supposed to get Jason last week, and I never did. I never called him.
For what?
Because he was off for school break.
Wow.
I was supposed to bring him to game night, and I totally forgot.
That's messed up, dude.
I'm the worst uncle in the world.
He could have been an imitation. If he really wanted to go, he would have texted you.
Yeah.
I can't wait till Christmas when you see
really
you.
Oh,
that's
so bad.
love it.
All right. It's okay. I made it up. I bought my other nephew mouse ears the other day at Disneyland. So.
Oh, okay, so that makes
sense. Your other nephew.
Yeah, your other nephew. Not the one you need to tone for.
It's good and bad. It's a yin and a yang, guys. It's a yin and a yang.
I left him stranded at that board game night, but I bought my other nephew ears. So
you win
fine.
Some, you lose some.
So I'm like right here still. I'm still in the middle.
I feel so bad. I got to text him to make sure. I literally just realized it on the air. All right, guys. So for the worst uncle in the world, for Patrick, for Jacob, for Justine, may the meeples. What do we say? May the dice be with you.
I don't know. We never remember.
Sorry, Jason.
Don't touch your meeples.
Thank you.
Gamers But Not Gameless is brought to you by the Superiority Complex. The Nameless But Not Gameless theme is the Third Man theme, performed by the Rat City Brass. Available at freemusicarchive.org.